Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today, the Thursday edition, being brought to you by our good friends Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. About a month ago, I had the privilege of meeting Rick. He's a great guy. And you go to him, I can tell you he will do a great job with your financial situation. Kevin wants to pay players. That's great.
I wouldn't say the word pay would be appropriate. Maybe stipend, help, assist.
He agrees with pay. Steve Spurrier that you get $4,000 a year.
No.
How much did they get?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that part of it yet. This is an ongoing process in my mind.
Whatever number you get, you're at Penn State, you're going to have to multiply it times 800.
That's true.
Because it's not just going to be football and men's basketball players. You can't do that. You can't do it.
But that's less than, I mean, even at $4,000, that's less than $1,000 a week. But less than $100 a week.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that $100 sounds reasonable, but I get what you're saying about the dollars and cents of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, 4,000 times 800.
That's a lot of zeros.
$3.2 million. Where does that come from?
I told you, I haven't resolved the whole thing yet. I mean, Steve and I are going to get together later this week, maybe early next week, and, you know, hash everything out.
I mean, you're losing $1.5 million to $2 million a year on women's basketball. And that's a critical sport for you. Can't afford to do that. You have to make up for the money somewhere. So... All right, our number 1-800-795-9565. The NBA last night. Oh, what a night for the NBA. Yes. Celtics and Heat, great game. I think the Heat shot 175 free throws. The Celtics shot, I think, 20. I believe LeBron had 24 free throw attempts last night, and the Celtics had 29. And Pierce fouled out. And Rajon Rondo in a tie game got whacked. Over the top of the head. No call. This follows the NBA draft lottery last night where the New Orleans Hornets, formerly, by the way, owned by the league, gets the first pick in the draft. Let's go to Yogi in Sealands Grove. Hi, Yogi.
How you doing?
Good, baby. How you doing today?
Oh, good. I have a comment about knee pads in college football.
Yep.
The rule is if you can stand straight up and your knees are covered, you can play. If your knees are covered. Now, Division I, they don't even honor that. Division II, they don't honor that. Division III, mm-hmm. It's a judgment call. I'm a sideline photographer. And I've covered local games around here, and every time I see somebody run down the field and their kneecaps are showing, I mention it to the official, and they say, it's a judgment call. They don't even like to talk about it, and it's ridiculous. It gives anybody that uses that premise a direct advantage because you can run faster without knee pads than you can with them. because they cover your knees. They limit your flexibility, and you can run faster without them. Trust me, I know that from a fact. So that's the answer to your buddy's answer on the knee pads. Nobody gives a damn. They just don't give a damn. They just, whatever they want to do. I've said
that explains a lot.
In 10 years, you're going to see shorts in the NFL. Trust me, you're going to see it.
Well, the NFL,
you're going to see it in 10 years.
Well, the NFL in 2013 is saying thigh pads and knee pads, and usually when the NFL does something like that, college adopts it. So you actually may see Yogi the opposite, because the NFL is putting an emphasis on it. They're going to put an emphasis on it, and you're going to be fined for it. These guys aren't going to want to give up cash, and then college is going to do the same thing. I see it, though, every day, Yogi. Every day in practice I see it. I know they're not wearing thigh pads and knee pads. You know, and then all of a sudden, ooh, I have a contusion. Well, how the heck did that happen?
Yeah, right.
And you know, and I'm sorry, Yogi. I get the argument about being faster, but if everybody has them or everybody doesn't, the playing field's even anyway.
There you go. That's my opinion about the whole thing. Now, getting back to the helmet thing, your buddy on from Shot Helmets.
Yeah.
My comment is, I played college football. Okay. When I played college football, we had composite helmets lined with rubber foam. You had the option for a suspension helmet, which was one of the worst ideas they've ever had.
Yeah, they were
suspension
terrible.
Suspension helmets, all they did was let your head go to the side, either side or to the top of the helmet, with more impact than it did if you had the helmet on like a motorcycle helmet, which just fits as tight. If you stand up against a door and someone runs into you, you're going to get hurt. If you're standing 6 inches from the door and someone runs into you, you're going to get hurt even more, because there's space between you and the door, and when you get hit, the impact's going to be greater than if you're standing against the door. I tried a suspension helmet in college, and I gave it back. And I gave it back to use the old composite helmet, which was lined with rubber. Now the helmets are a combination of the two. They have gel inside. They have gel in the top. And that's the greatest thing. But the suspension helmet, I was going to talk to the guy from Shot in case he was old enough to remember them. But that was the worst idea they ever had, ever.
Right.
Because
that was terrible.
It was a disaster.
Right, terrible idea. Right, and that's why I talked to him about research and development, because the research and development, what they're trying to do, simply, Yogi, is get a helmet that is lighter, because, again, it goes back to what we were talking about in pads. You don't want to be wearing this thing that's weighing you down up top. Lighter, but more efficient, and that's the challenge they have.
Yeah. And that's why Shot is becoming probably one of the premier helmets in all of college football now. And there's Riddell also makes helmets, but not for the NFL, I don't think, anymore. I think it's all Shot now, I'm pretty sure.
The NFL's Riddell, for the most part. It's actually Shot, for example. Players are actually using Shot helmets. But the Giants went against the league and bought the Shots themselves.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm just my comment was that the worst idea they ever had was the suspension helmet, and it was a disaster.
It was a disaster, and
you're
right. At least today, with the gels and also the contour and the shape of the helmet, is a little bit different than it was back then. You can see how it's tapered on the sides and the back compared to what we used to see.
Yeah, but the other comment I had was with the advent of the face masks and the cages and the bars and all that stuff, the helmet now becomes a weapon. Mm-hmm. It used to be just for your protection. Now it becomes a weapon. And you'll see that even in high school, the kids today have more courage to hit somebody with their head than they ever did, because you don't want to get a split lip or a broken nose or a black eye. And that's part of the problem, is it creates a false courage. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but it is a fact.
Yogi, you know what? Joe Paterno talked about that a couple of times.
Really?
That the face mask, he said, led to players feeling they could now use their head or leave with their head more. And he talked about that not having the face mask, they'd back off on it.
I played without a face mask. And believe me, when the game was over, if you didn't have a broken nose or a split lip, you weren't playing football.
Yeah.
It's a different deal, you know.
And I can speak from coaching youth football. You get kids coming up from flag football where they're not wearing anything. That's the first thing they want to do is be able to use that helmet because they feel as though for the first time they're protected and they don't have to worry about it. So you have to teach somebody. I mean, you really, you at every level, need to teach a tackle how to tackle over and over again.
Yeah, with your shoulders instead of your head.
Right,
yeah.
But when you have a youngster moving up from flag football without a helmet to youth football with a helmet, that's the first thing they want to do is use that helmet in the tackle.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I can't tell you how many of them have said to me, oh, I'm not supposed to do that?
Yeah, right. They'll live and learn, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy your show, Steve.
Yogi, great call. Appreciate it. Great insight. We appreciate it very much. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We'll continue with more calls on this Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show and WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Kevin Herr wants college athletes to be paid.
I like to use the word stipend.
He thinks the NBA draft is rigged.
Didn't look good.
And he thinks his son's hitting 800.
No. Only in my dreams.
Is that kid above the Mendoza line yet?
No. No. Oh, he has another game tomorrow night with an opportunity to raise it above the line. Listen, the odds of college baseball or college athletes getting paid may happen before 800.
Really? Wow.
Sorry to say.
Sorry. Let's see. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Phillies are off today. There's a good chance nobody gets hurt. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit Rick online at rewfinancial.com.
Did you say the other day the Phillies now have on the DL, dollar-wise?
$55 million.
Wow.
$55 million. By the way, blue-white game next year will be April 20th. Mark it down.
They know that already?
Yep.
That's way too much planning ahead.
I'm just telling you. That way now our audience knows. You want me to keep it a secret for months or what?
No. I'm fine with you saying it. I'm just surprised that, you know, they know this far in advance.
April 20th. Okay? We do know that far in advance. Okay? I found out today. So since I found out today, I pass it along to you. Why keep it a secret? Let's see. new trivia question, not trivia question, new poll question.
New poll
question. And I want to talk about this extensively, not just today, but tomorrow. All right. I try to say,
you know, one thing that tells me is
the young thing. He has been considered. The guy was the LCS and world. Well, they win when he pitches. He has the show for it.
No help.
So he's, you know, I mean, he got the dude has to throw a shutout in order to put himself on the win column, or at least so it seems. So. Yeah, that's the obvious thing from that poll. But again, should Penn State and Pitt play football every year? Here's one thing. I want to get a feel from the fans. Do this over the next few days. Find out what they think. Yes, no, and then, you know, and go from there. Now, it's going to be difficult to do. It is difficult to do because of the Pac-12 thing. But I want some ideology here. Do you think they should play every year? Because they haven't played every year. But 92 was the last time where the full-length series went. Then they picked it up again, 97, 8, 9, and 2000. They haven't played since. They haven't played in 12 years. And they've only played four times in 20 years. And they're not playing again until 2016 when Penn State goes to Heinz Field.
I agree with what you said a couple of weeks ago. It's a win for Pitt more than it is for Penn State financially.
Oh, absolutely. They need Penn State in the schedule. You know, I think financially they'll obviously, I mean, not think. I know financially they'll make out better when they go to the ACC. But is their attendance going to be better? Is it intriguing to play Clemson? Is it intriguing to play Virginia? Is it going to be on an every year basis? Is it intriguing to have NC State come in there? Is bringing NC State going to sell more tickets? Or even North Carolina in football. Is that going to sell more tickets at Heinz Field?
No, but the uniforms are more colorful.
Oh.
Listen, North Carolina Pitt. I'm trying to come up with magic there in that particular game.
There isn't any.
That's my point.
Now, in basketball, there is.
Right.
Playing Duke in basketball. But Pitt already sells out the Pete in basketball. They have great basketball fans. They're there every game. And the Peterson Center is a gorgeous facility. And to their credit, and this is in part because of Consol Energy, or in part because before that they had Mellon Arena, when you have a second arena in town that's bigger, you can then build an arena that's the right size. Now, Penn State did not do that. Penn State's arena is too big for basketball. But in order to attract Taylor Swift, in order to attract Carrie Underwood or Faith Hill or Tim McGraw or Cirque du Soleil and so forth, you have to have an arena that's a certain size. The University of Pittsburgh didn't have to do that because you already have, at that point when they built it, Mellon Arena, and of course now Consol Energy. Pitt doesn't have to worry about trying to build an arena that's going to draw concerts to it. They build a basketball arena, and it's gorgeous. It's 12,000 seats. Perfect size. Perfect size in a media market that is big. And they sell it out. And I've done games in there, and I think it's a great place to broadcast a game. And I think the fans, the Oakland Zoo, the kids there are great. I even did a game at Old Fitzgerald. But the Peterson Center is a gorgeous facility. And they'll sell out no matter what. They'll sell out when Miami's there. They'll sell out when Duke's there. They'll sell out when North Carolina's there. But in football, you bring in Duke, ghost town. You bring in North Carolina, ghost town. You know, probably even when you bring in Virginia and Maryland, it's not going to draw heavily. Now, they'll draw well, for example, when Virginia Tech comes in. I think they'll draw well, for example, when Miami comes in or Florida State. But after that, Wake Forest comes in to play football?
No.
So, yeah, you're right.
Pitt needs Penn State on the schedule far more than the reverse. But I want to ask our great fans here, would you like to see Penn State play Pitt on an annual basis as a non-conference game? Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Sarah Bartlett and the news at the bottom of the hour on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. On this Thursday afternoon, should Penn State and Pitt play every year in football? Our number, 1-800-795-9565.
See, now, for me, the magic, I'm sorry, for me, the magic isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there.
Well, that's what I want to find out from the fans. That's why I'm asking the question. I'm asking the question because I want to find out what the fans think. And has it, after only playing four times in 20 years and not playing once since 2000, has even the thought of it just gone by the wayside?
The magic is gone.
Might be. This was as intense from 1974 to 1983. Or even 80, you know, even 84, whatever. As intense a rivalry as you saw in college sports. As intense as Auburn, Alabama. As intense as Ohio State, Michigan. Right up there. In fact, the quality of the game was between 74 and 83 was far better than Ohio State and Michigan. You get better teams. Penn State and Pitt were better teams than Ohio State and Michigan back then. Just better. I mean, Penn State and Pitt each would have, if they had played Michigan in a 10-year span, would have won 8 times out of 10, would have been 1-8 out of 10 over Ohio State. They're just better teams during that time frame. You know, Penn State played Ohio State twice in 78 and in 80, won both games. Out in Columbus and in the Fiesta Bowl. They were better. And Pitt would have done the same thing. I mean, these two teams have pros all over the lot. And the intensity of the games. Whether it was Pitt with Tony Dorsett and Matt Kavanaugh winning in 76 at Heinz Field. And Penn State coming back. Or not at Heinz Field, at Three Rivers Stadium. Then they come back the next year and they play at Pitt Stadium in the snow, and Penn State wins 15-13. 78, Penn State had a rally, come from behind, win the game. Then 79, Pitt won big. 80, went down to the wire. Todd Blackledge threw that interception late. Carlton Williamson picked it off. That's right, one pro picking off another pro. The memorable 81 game, 82, same thing. 83 was a good game, ended up being a tie. 84, Pitt won big, and then after that, Penn State owned it. 85, 6, 7, 8, 9, 90, 91, 92, Penn State won all the games. Pitt was already starting to backslide in 84, even though they didn't. Penn State had a lousy year in 84. They were 6-5. And Pitt won the game with complete ease. And then in 85, Penn State woodshedded them, did it again in 86, and then from at that point on, they had them. But is it a game that is now off your grid? Should Penn State and Pitt play every year in football? Yes or no? And no can mean once in a while, by the way. In fact, you want to put that down, Kevin, as an option. Yes, no, or once in a while.
Sure, change it up on me. Okay, we can do that.
You haven't even put it up yet. Okay. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel. Someone you can trust who will get the job done for you. At REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, give Rick a call. At 1-800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. And, of course, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, located at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I mean, is the, and I wanted to bring it up now. Scheduling is very difficult. When we had Guy Gadowski on the show yesterday, we talked about the difficulty of putting the and somebody else's schedule. And Penn's season, it's never again. Penn's out the season here. Must be in September. Or else. And that opening weekend, in all likelihood, for Penn State starting in 2017, what they're. But you have four openings. Because the Big Ten put together the Pac-12 arrangement, they backed off on the nine conference games and kept it at eight. They were going to go to nine conference games, I think, in 2015. But and that was to really help out those in the conference that don't draw as well, Indiana, Northwestern, and so forth. Because an extra conference game, especially an extra conference home game where you have five, will draw fans at those two venues. What they were having trouble with in Indiana and Northwestern is that they could not work a schedule out the way a Penn State can or an Ohio State or Michigan can, where they can play three of four non-conference games at home and can pay the guarantees to do it. Because in order to pay the guarantee, you have to have enough people in the stands to make the guarantee worthwhile. So that's what the thought was behind going to nine conference games. Now they put together that Pac-12 agreement, and because of the Pac-12 agreement, which would be in all likelihood Labor Day weekend, they backed off and you still will stay at eight conference games of the Big Ten. That means there are three other openings. Should Penn State play Pitt every year as one of those three openings? 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Kevin says the game is now by the boards and obsolete.
It just doesn't have the luster.
Well, that's a, when you get into a conference, those are your rivals.
Right.
Ohio State is your rival. Now, especially in divisional play. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana. Those are your rivals. Because those are the five teams you need to beat to win your division and get to the Big Ten championship game. Now, you also have other established rivalries. I'm guessing, and it's only from being here for such a long time, but I think fans here now are far more intrigued by Penn State and Michigan.
Absolutely.
Than they are by Penn State and Pitt.
I would much rather see Penn State and Michigan every single year than Penn State and virtually right. anybody else.
Until they change the divisions, you won't.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying.
However, if I had, if you're looking at a non-conference game, and I had my choice of teams and which one I'd want to see on the schedule on a regular basis, I would rather see Notre Dame on than Pitt.
I had a feeling that would be the answer. I think that that might be. I want to hear what the fans have to say.
I'm not saying it'll be a better game. I don't know that it would be a better game.
No. But I know what you're saying.
But I think it would be a much more interesting game to discuss and talk about. And I think the fan base is there for both teams more. And I'm not saying Pitt doesn't have any fans. Don't read anything into that. I'm just saying I think the fan base between the two are much more. It's a much broader fan base between those two teams.
Of course, that's an obvious statement. You know, you don't have to. You do not have to couch that statement to appease the Pitt fans that are listening right now.
Well, I have a few friends that would text me in a minute.
But they know. They know that the only three schools that draw there are Penn State, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. They know that. The attendance numbers don't lie. Penn State is a far more popular and greater draw in this state for football than any other program. That's obvious. Penn State basketball is not. That's obvious. Pitt draws better. Villanova draws better. They draw better. Should Penn State be Should Penn State be a better drawn basketball than they are? Yes. Will they end up being with Patrick Chambers? You bet they will. But it's going to take, again, it'll take time. A speech I've made for 30-plus years. But he's the right guy at the right moment. I have tremendous confidence in what he's going to do for this program. I think people started to see some of that last year. But Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State are the three primary draws at Heinz Field. It's an obvious statement. It is not in any way to demean Pitt football. It's just what's been established. Okay. Pitt needs to have another opponent there because in a pro city, it's very hard. It's very difficult. You have the Steelers who own that town. The Penguins are next. Pitt basketball does extremely well, and believe me, by playing in the ACC, they'll be bringing in opponents left and right, and Pitt's really good in basketball. Yeah, that's why I laugh when I hear Jamie Dixon. I don't know. He's not doing such a great job. He can't get him past the Sweet 16. Oh, a problem I would love to see here at Penn State.
How would you like to be going to the tournament every year? You know,
I'd love to have that be my complaint.
Oh, man, we went to the tournament.
Patrick, I don't know, Patrick. You know, we got to get past the Sweet 16 thing. I've been here. I've broadcast Penn State basketball for 30 seasons. This will be my 31st. I've been to the NCAA tournament four times.
Poor Doug Birdsong doesn't dance every time he gets to go to the big dance himself.
Exactly. You know, I mean, Hillgrove's over there going, we're going back again. Really, we're going to get past the Sweet 16. Okay, great. Good for you. So it's a great problem to have. They're highly successful in basketball. But Pitt has been okay in football. They've been an okay draw in football. Being in the ACC will be better, but marginally better in terms of draw.
But why can't these Division I sports all stay in the same conference? Why do we have to have some teams that have basketball in this conference and football in this conference? I can't stand that. As a fan, I can't stand that. It's way too confusing.
Which schools are you referring to now?
I'm just saying, in general, why can't you be just one conference for all sports?
Well, in the five prime BCS conferences, that is how it's done. Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, and ACC, the five prime conferences, that's exactly how it's done. You're either all in or you're not in.
But why is there any difference? That's what I'm saying. There shouldn't be. I mean, you should be in the conference for everything because that builds your rivalries right there for all sports, not just for football, not just for basketball.
Are you referring to the Big East?
I would be referring to the Big East as one example, yes.
Well, yeah, I've had fans on the show have heard me rail about that before. They're a league, not a conference. I mean, how they're run is as confusing a business model as I've ever seen in my life. I don't get it. The part that I sit back and go, huh, is when they give Notre Dame the bowl bid. What?
Here, you can have it. We don't want it.
Your number two bowl bid you give to a team that's not in your conference for football. Huh? What? You have to be kidding me.
Now, they get three-quarters of the money from that, right? That's part of the deal, right? Now, the Big East gets three-quarters of the money?
I don't think so.
Oh, all right.
No.
No, that's exactly what I was talking about was the Big East. It makes no sense. I mean, I realize they're struggling to get whatever they can get, and inviting teams in like they have is fine because they're struggling to stay afloat. But to call yourself the Big East, have two teams from the West Coast, and only have them in for one sport, it doesn't create anything for your conference at all.
Well, the five prime conferences, and you know, in the Mountain West is the same. The Mountain West, they do business the same way. You're either in or you're out. They're better organized than the Big East is.
The only way you would have, in my mind, the only way you would have a pass is. And I'll use the example because this is one I know very well, is Georgetown. Georgetown plays in the Patriot League for football, but they play Division I basketball, and they play that in a different conference. That I could understand because there's a difference there, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little gray area there, but I could still at least understand that a little bit better.
Well, that I understand, but not in the Big East.
Right.
You want to be a conference? Be a conference. You want to be a league? Be a league. But guess what? Being a league has been, they have reaped tremendous benefits basketball-wise by the depth and quality of the basketball that's in the Big East. It's a great basketball league. Great basketball league. But they're an absolutely mediocre football league. Simple as that. And they were, you know, and they're, and to be honest with you, they're never now, after everything that's come down, any chance that they had to be really good in football as a league, any chance that they had to move out of mediocrity in football has now gone by the wayside. They can't cobble together the right programs to do it. In basketball, they can be great forever because they have the right programs to do it. But because of the basketball-football split in that league between St. John's, Villanova, Georgetown, Marquette, all, it's not going to happen. It's not going to, and Seton Hall, it's not going to happen.
By the way, the early numbers on the poll question is split right down the middle, 50-50, with sometimes being an option.
Sounds great. Okay. So that's what we have for the poll question. Should Penn State and Pitt play each other in football every year? 1-800-795-9565. Love to get your input on this because you're the ones that buy the tickets. So you should be able to have a schedule placed out there in front of you that you find attractive and you like. That's why your input is critical. Love to hear from you. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Our thanks, as always, to Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You always call Rick at 1-800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. From the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You're the fan. You, the fans, are the ones that pay to see these games. And it's not just the Big Ten games you pay to see. So that's why I wanted to know, do you think Penn State and Pitt should play every year? And Kevin, I don't know what we have, at least on initial results, but
50-50 right down the middle.
Okay, 50-50 down the middle.
And sometimes is an option if you'd like to go that route now.
Right. And they're on in 16 and 17. Penn State will play at Heinz Field in 2016, and Pitt will play at Beaver Stadium in 2017.
Matter of date. 75 negative.
No, really. Okay. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Really want to get into this more tomorrow. And also, we're trying hard for tomorrow at 3:05 to kick the show off with Matt Adams, the first baseman of the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, I mean, I suppose it would have been great to get last year's first baseman of the St. Louis Cardinals on, but
actually, Matt Adams is playing better.
He's playing better than Albert Pujols. Matt Adams is from Phillipsburg Osceola High School. Phillipsburg Osceola is located in western Center County. It's right on the center Clearfield County border. He has taken himself from playing at Phillipsburg Osceola High School, worked his way through the minor leagues, and is now the starting first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. That's who we're working on getting on tomorrow's show.
And let's see, he's hitting .317 this year.
.317. It's just, this is one of our local boy makes good deal. And what we do here is we put a compass down at Sunbury, and we make a 100-mile radius. That's good enough for us. As always, we had a lot of fun today. Our thanks, by the way, to Glenn Beckman from Shut Helmets for joining us from 3:30 to 4 today as he talked extensively about helmets and concussions and what Shut is trying to do to at least slow down concussions.